We're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. I'm going to go ahead and jump into the message here. And today we're talking about a father's resolution. It's our last in our series here of photoshopping the family picture, where we're trying to get the picture, God's picture of family, God's picture. And today we're trying to get a picture of the father. We're trying to get a picture of a father's resolution. And I have here a definition to that. And again, I want to encourage you to giving. I know we didn't pray over the offering. We'll be praying a little bit later here. But I want to encourage you to give to that and to know that you are giving to more than just a local church. You are giving to hands and feet around the world. So I want to thank you for that. But a father's resolution. Resolution, what that just means in and of itself is a measure, talking about photoshopping, a measure of the sharpness of an image or the fineness with which a device, as a video, display, printer, scanner, can produce or record such an image. Usually expresses the total number of density of pixels in the image. Another definition is the act or processing of resolving. Another one is the act of analyzing a complex notion into simpler ones, or the process or capability of making distinguishable the individual parts of an object closely adjacent, optical images, or sources of light. Basically, you know, having a clear resolution is to make something a little bit sharper. We need to have, especially as fathers have a certain mindset, a certain things that they're focused on, certain things that are in their mind, and they are resolved to get to those destinations, and they're resolved to bring others to those destinations. If you're a father here, you cannot see kids being hurt and not be pricked. Why? Because it is in our resolve to protect. It's in our resolve to serve. In us, it's built in us as a man, but as we become a father, it begins drawn out and it becomes amplified 10 times, 20-fold. All of a sudden, that resolve, that resolution that I will protect, I will serve, I will point in the right direction, I want to help, I want to save, I want to do the work that God's called me to do, the work of the Savior. We have that saving inside of us. That's why we love hero movies. We love movies about heroes. We love movies about men and women that stand up for what's right. No matter if everything else is wrong, they'll stand up and do what's right. They'll do what's right. And especially when we see little ones being hurt, we want to see what's right done. We want to protect those that cannot protect themselves. We want to help those that cannot do it, and we want to help point them and bring them in the right direction. That is the resolution of a father. A resolution of a father. But guess what? A father doesn't start out as a father, do they? A father does not start out as a father. And I just want to preface this because I'm being a little different, you know, in the announcements and everything, because I'll be honest, I've been so stirred up for this message this morning. I've been so passionate for this message. This message has been gripping my heart. I think it's appropriate those that are here today. Fathers, you fathers are pointing your families in the right direction. Right now is a time for us fathers on this earth to be celebrated. But you start taking the time to celebrate and point to God the Father. Why? Because that is where true protection is at. That is where true salvation is at. It is in our Father God. That is where our family will be truly blessed. Is in his presence, is with him. Like I was saying, a father doesn't start as a father. A father starts out as a child, right? We grow up, and there's some things that are in our nature. There's some things, and I have a little thing. I'm going to show the first eyeball, and I want you to look at this thing as this thing that I made here. It looks kind of maybe gross looking at it, but this is an eyeball. But also, if you can look at it, it's almost like a target. Right, like a bullseye, where you throw a dart. You have, you know, the outer ring and you have the center. And this is human nature. As we grow up, these are human eyes. I say this is a human eye. And here we have everything around here just kind of representative of life. And we're going through life. As we're growing up, we have our skills, our giftings. We have our dreams, our aspirations. We have our education, family. Things begin happening. But as we're growing up, we're focused on self. We're focused on surviving. We're focused on our loved ones, on our parents, on our family. And this is why we're doing everything that we're doing in the natural. Can't just talk in the natural. All right? In the natural, we start living life. And our focus, or where our pupil is at, is on self or on loved ones that we have in our family. And we grew up with this. And all of a sudden, what's around here, look, the iris doesn't change. And we're going to have a couple different pictures here, but the iris doesn't change. This is what changes. What's in your focus? What are you resolved to go towards? What are you resolved? As we grow up, our human nature is resolved and centered around self, and this is what we're moving towards. We might be thinking we're moving towards finances, church, giftings, charity, profession, dreams, aspirations, talents, skills, but ultimately, if we're moving around that, we're still moving towards self. If that is our main goal, if that's what our life is centering around, having the best profession, having the best life, then we are still centered around self. Do we understand that? Self is established in the middle, or loved ones, or we have loved ones that we're doing it for, right? We have our family that we're doing it for. We have, if we're a kid, we're growing up, we're doing it for mom and dad, or we want to make them proud, whatever. There is either self or loved ones in a natural human's eyes. And this is what life, this is what everything surrounds itself, but it's focused, and that means life is moving towards either self or loved ones. Example, friends or family. As a man grows up, he keeps growing up, and this is the mind, but all of a sudden, there's someone that catches his eye, a woman. A woman comes in the picture, and we're going to, I believe in man and woman, so we're going to stick woman, all right? All right, a woman catches the man's eye, and all of a sudden, a woman starts becoming the loved one in the middle. All of a sudden, a woman catches, and all of a sudden, these things begin circling around the woman. All right, all of a sudden, I got to learn a lot. I need education. Why? Because I need to provide for my woman. I need to provide. I want to marry this woman. All of a sudden, we go to church because a woman goes to church. We do charity. Why? Hopefully the woman will see. We do good works because good, but center on the woman. We want the woman to see it. We develop our skills. We go to work. We make money. And it's for the woman. The woman's in the middle of our eyes. How many women would like a man like that? You're like, I wish I was in the middle of his eyes. But anyway, this is typically what happens because all of a sudden a woman comes, they're focused. When they're at the job, what are they thinking about? They're thinking about the woman. Women, you might not think that, but when a guy gets goo-goo gaga, that's all they think about. They go crazy, and all they think about is a woman, right? Then anyway, things do change over time, unfortunately, but the woman still is in the center. Then afterwards, after you've drawn close to the woman, your focus is on the woman. You've drawn close. You've championed her heart. You marry her. Because that's the way it should be. You marry her, and then what happens? You get intimate, and you have kids. You have kids. That's just a natural progression, right? Doesn't happen with everyone, okay? Granted, I understand that. But just talking about natural, stereotypical families here, right? You get married, now you have kids. Now all of a sudden, you have some other loved ones in the picture. Now you have kids. Now you have a different level of responsibility. Now you have two eyes. You have one eye focused on the woman, the other one focused on the kids. But the kids bear a higher responsibility because they're little ones. They don't know where to go. You're in charge of directing their life. A father's eye is a little bit different. How they begin seeing things is a little bit different. Now they're thinking, now they have to teach someone how they live their life, how to look and do life and where to center their eyesight at. They have to point now. They're a father. They are responsible. They're responsible for someone else's life, and they love that little life. Now, don't get me wrong. There's hurts and pains, right? In growing up a child, there are hurts. There are pains. You will get hurt. When you love a woman, when a woman's the center of your attention, when their kids are center of your attention, all right, you will get hurt in the process somewhere along the line because wherever you love, you will hurt. Wherever you love, you will hurt. There is pain involved with that, all right? So fathers, love the women, and you need to have both. You can never stop loving the woman, right? You can never stop losing that sight. You need to have that 20/20 vision, the natural, okay? The natural of the woman and the kids, and this is my family. This is my family, and a father's resolution is to bring them forward so they can develop in some of these things. And again, everything now, my finances, my talents, my profession, church education, is surrounded by the woman and my family. It's all for them. It's all for them. I'm doing this all for them. This is the center. I'm resolved to bring it. I'm doing it for them. But in our spiritual life, there's something similar that takes place. Again, hurts are going to happen, all right? Hurts are going to happen, but your love for them keeps you going. Your attention and focus on them keeps you going. You try to instruct. You try to help the women. You try to help the kids. And you try to say, don't do this. Do it this way. I want to help you succeed in life. I want to give you responsibility. I want to help you succeed. And if they don't listen, guess what? They're going to get hurt. If they go on a bicycle and you tell them put on padding, they don't put on padding because they think they know better, right? Because most kids think they know better because we all thought we knew better too, right? We get on and they're going to hurt themselves. Now, is that the father's fault that they hurt themselves? Is it the father's fault if a father told a child, I know I'm going couple different places. Let's focus on the bicycle example here. All right? If a father tells a child, put on padding to go on your bike, you need to learn how to ride a bike. It's one of the basics here in life. Learn how to ride a bicycle. And if the child falls down, the child says, I don't want to wear padding, and falls down and hurts himself, is that the father's fault? Yeah, okay. Some say, yeah, I guess it depends on the age. But if the kid refuses to, it's actually silly for the kid to blame the father. It's a little bit silly when the kid and the father is given instruction to do this. And I say it because this parallels a lot in our spiritual life. A lot of times we blame God after he said, do this. Put on this padding. He gives instruction. But anyway, what I do want to liken this to is the same thing. Just as a woman gets in our eyes, in our spiritual life, and really this is our main life. Our main life. God needs to be in our eyes. God needs to be the one, the center. God needs to be the one center, and then we need to get the Father's heart. The Father's heart for his kids. The Father's heart for his kids. And as we have God in our center, just like the woman, and then you get intimate with God, you will get and you will birth his vision for others. You will give birth to his vision for his kids. You will get a vision for his kids that you never would have had. The video I'd like to play right now. And I want you to listen to this video. It's about 7 minutes long. And just be open-hearted towards this, please.
This world naturally creates. This world applauds and esteems the wealthy and the powerful and the privileged and the talented. That's not how God's system works. Jesus came and he proved it. He took the lowest spot. He was God. The bigger you get in the kingdom of heaven, the lower position you take. The special ones in God's kingdom are the weak ones. The ones who can't fight for themselves, the ones who can't speak for themselves, the ones that don't have someone to feed them, the ones that don't have someone to protect them. And Jesus says those are the prized ones. And you treat them as the royalty here on earth. And the way you treat them is ultimately the way you're treating me. What you do unto the least of these is how you're ultimately treating your God. Christianity is taking what has been purchased by the cross, the behavior of heaven, nature of Jesus Christ, and transplanted it into the heart of men and women down here on earth so that they behave not like this world, but like heaven. And so when this world sees them, they're different. There is something odd about them. They are from another realm. What does it look like? It's noble. It's brave. It's courageous. It's selfless. It is willing to spend itself for the weak. I was doing some study on Liberia. If you want to be disturbed, start studying Liberia. This four-year-old boy who's sitting on the side of the road, no one to comfort, no one to take him in, no shelter, no food, nothing. So in the middle of that night, I wake up. And it's like God had already deposited a question, and it was waiting to meet me when I popped awake in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. I had this picture of this little boy in Liberia in front of me. And God asked me a question. What if that was Hudson? My four-year-old. Eric, what if that was Hudson? You don't mess with a father's heart. What if that was Hudson? If my boy was on the side of a road across the world from me, suffering, totally alone, not knowing what's happening. He's not old enough to comprehend this. He's abandoned. He has no one to fight for his cause, no one to give him a voice. He doesn't even know how to articulate his circumstances. He's hungry and no one's feeding him. He's starving to death. If my son is in that situation, stick a concrete wall in front of me and I claw through with my bare hands. This is my son we're talking about. And if I couldn't get there, I would call up every friend I have. And I would say, I have a son over in Liberia. You call yourself my friend. I need you to get on a plane. And I need you to get to him. I'll I'll give you the coordinates. I'll do whatever it takes, but I need you to get to my son and be a father to him. God's response, Eric, that's my Hudson. That is my Hudson. And he's looking to us. And he's saying, I'm calling up everyone I know. Everyone on my list that calls himself by my name, that says they're a friend of God. And I'm saying, my son is over in Liberia. Are you willing to get on the plane and get to him? We have a cause, but we don't want to see it. And it's when we finally acknowledge the fact that something is wrong with us, not with the world out there. If we start with this little group here and we say, God, you need to fix this. I suffer from depraved indifference. So do you. But we care. It's not that that doesn't move us at some level to hear about this little child over in Liberia. We care, but we can go home tonight and sleep just fine. How is that? It's because there's an indifference to that life. And it's naturally born within us that that life isn't affecting us. It's not in our backyard. We're not related to it. It's someone else's issue. In fact, we start quoting scriptures about God being a father to the fatherless. We're like, thank you, God, that you're a father to that child. He says, remember, you call yourself my body. I'm not there except through you. Your hands, Eric, those are my hands. Your feet, those are my feet. That heart, it's my heart. If it's not beating, my heart's not beating on this earth anymore. I work through my body. I'm a father to the fatherless through my body. I rescue the weak and the vulnerable through you. And if you're not doing it, no one is. There is a solution for our disease, which is known as sin. It's Jesus Christ. There's a solution for these dying children. It's Jesus Christ. Might sound overly simplistic, but that's it. That is the solution. Because Jesus Christ will change a man like Eric Ludi into a man that feels what Jesus Christ is feeling. And he cannot stay in suburbia, USA anymore and do nothing. Heroes are made because they are moved. Not in their head, but in their heart. You have to be moved at such a level where you will shed blood. Jesus Christ was moved, for God so loved the world that he gave. And that son that was given suffered and died. For what? For the cause that is being laid before us tonight. It wasn't head knowledge about the disaster taking place in this world. It was life abandonment unto the cause of those that are dying, unto the eternal souls that are around us. Do we care at the level God cares? Do we carry a burden when we go home tonight? Will we grieve over the fact that those children are God's children? And he is longing for an advocate to stand up and say, I'm willing, God, to fight for what is yours. I'm willing, God, burden me. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, you know what he was there for? He was there for life. He was burdened with the weight of it all for life. And he was willing to sweat great droplets of blood. Are we? For our King and his glory, we will rescue these little ones.
I don't know about you, but that video moves me. Some of you here might be thinking, I don't want to get moved. I don't want to get my heart. This is just some kind of hype or something, is it? Is that why we're afraid? Because we're afraid to move into a direction that's perhaps unknown to us, that might hurt you, that might affect you, profoundly change your life? We're afraid because when we do that, all of a sudden we're leaving. We're afraid oftentimes because we're thinking, I can't do that. I have a life here. I have my family here. I have this here. Here's the thing. Before your family was your family, it was God's. Before your family was your family, it was God's family. And when you begin adopting God's cause, you get intimate with God and you begin getting the vision that God had to seek and save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. Guess what? Your family is included in that. They're the ones that are closest in that responsibility. The problem is that we separate family from the cause of Christ. I cannot pursue the cause because of my family. I cannot pursue the cause because of my family. I cannot pursue the cause because of my profession. I cannot pursue the cause because of my good works. I cannot pursue the cause because of my charity, because of my dreams, my aspirations. It will cost me. It will cost you everything. I'm talking to some hardcore people this morning because this is the Christian life. A father's resolution is first to get this, to get God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in the center. To get that to be the focus of every child, that they will begin to see and point to God. You know, I spend time with my kids at nighttime. I have not only felt directed but compelled. I pray with my kids, and I always tell them to thank God for Jesus. They don't know who Jesus is yet, but I'm getting it in their eyes and their focus right now. I read the Bible to them every night that I'm able to be there at their bedtime. Joshua 24:15 says, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a father. That's a father. That's a man. That's someone who understands the responsibility and knows the only way to fulfill the protection, the love that we have in our hearts to point them to God. To point them to God. Here's the thing, the next slide can't happen until God first gets in the picture. You can't have kids until the woman gets in the picture, right? Men? You can't have kids until a woman gets in the picture. You can't get God's vision for his kids until God's in the picture. This comes first. This is a father's resolution that we would serve the Lord. That me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to point them to God. I want your profession to understand it's about God. I want your gifting to understand it's about God. Your skills about God. Your dreams about God. Your education's about God. Your family, it's about God. Because guess what? You can do all this other stuff and say it's for God, but still miss God and can still be all about self. God has not made you to have a great profession, to have a great church, to have a great education, family skills. That's not why you're on this earth. It's to have a great life. It's so that your life encircles a great God. And God is at the center. Let's do the next slide. When God becomes at the center, all of a sudden, we get Luke 19:10. It says, to seek and save. This is why Jesus came. All right? It says, the Son of Man has come. He came to seek and save that which was lost. John 20:21 says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, and as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Jesus didn't say this to everyone. He said to his disciples, so I send you. God sends you only when you're close enough for him to send you. Only until we become intimate with God can we get this in our eyes. Can we get the Father's heart, the Father's resolution? The Father's resolution is to seek and save that which was lost, to go into all the earth and to make disciples, to heal the brokenhearted, to see blind eyes open, to see the dead raised. This is the Father's resolution. Will it be yours? This is God's heart. But our life oftentimes is all about this. No, it's about this because when you get a father, men, we need to lead people to have God in the center of life. Look, we are here to seek. Look, we don't do the saving, but we connect them to the Savior, but we are called to seek them out. We're called to seek out. We're called to seek out. We're called to seek out our family. Why? Because God loves our family. They are part of that. They are part of this area right here that God loves them, and we want them to see God. Put God in the center because they get close enough to God, they're going to get this passion to seek and save that which was lost. That's what God births in us. He births that in us, that vision to go after those kids, just like that video was showing. If God said, go to Africa because there's a child there that needs to see the Father's love, you're like, but God's there, someone else is there. But what if God tells you to do it? Well, I got my own family here. You're right. You do. That's great. And they get you so much. But if God says, please go out after one of my lost ones, will we care enough to do it? Will we care enough to go out and do that? Let's turn to the next slide. Just like I said, when we need to have a woman and the kids, right? That's our natural thing, right? But the first thing is that we need to have the eye towards a woman in order for the kids to happen, in order for a father to even come about. It means having kids. In order for you, and there's some of my kids right there, in order for you to be a father in the Lord, you first need to have God in your center, but you never lose sight of God, church. It's not like you give up and all of a sudden just do seeking and saving the lost. If I can have everyone's attention, please. And miss out on God. And miss out on God. You always need to have God in one eye. This is 2020 vision. This is a 2020 resolution. This is a father's resolution right here. Do you have God? Always have an eye on God. Always have an eye to pursue Him. That my life is about Him, but my life is also about seeking and saving those that are lost, making disciples and others. Both eyes. Again, you cannot get this eye without this one. You cannot get this bullseye without hitting this bullseye. You cannot hit this bullseye without hitting this bullseye. Church, we can do a lot of good things. But without God, it doesn't mean anything. You are not here. Let's just say this too. You're not just here to heal the sick. You're not just here to feed the poor, feed the hungry, to clothe the poor and the widows. That is not your end all. If Mother Teresa did all her good works and did not have Jesus, she would not go to heaven. Do you understand that? All her good works are great, but without God in the center, without Jesus, it is nothing. You are not called to do a good work on this earth. Your good work, look, you can do a good work without God being the center, without seeking and saving the lost, but you cannot pursue God, and you cannot seek and save the lost without doing a good work. You're saying you can do a good work without God and seeking and saving the lost, but you cannot pursue God and seeking and saving the lost without good works. It's naturally on that progression. The problem is if we stop and we don't really see. If we just do good works, it's just about ourselves. It has to be the end game is God, church. The end game is seeking and saving that which was lost. The end game is making disciples. That is the end. That is what we're going for. We feed the poor. Not just to feed the poor. We care. We care. We care, but what we care? We care about eternity more than anything. This life is temporal. Eternity is what matters. Fathers, do we have that resolution to lead our family, to lead this world into eternity, or just a good life here about ourselves and just our loved ones? There's more to this. And some of us right now, we have the wall coming up. Say, I got to go home. I got to do this. I got to do that. I understand. But I want you to understand what this church is about. This church came about from a vision that was birthed in me, from my intimate time with God. This church is not about playing patty cake or just coming and sitting in chairs. This church was birthed to seek and save that which was lost, to make disciples. That is the purpose of this church. The vision of this church is for that, to go after those that do not yet know God, to return His kids back to Him, the ones that He created in the womb, to give them back to God, to let them see the Savior, to get God. Look, our goal by seeking and saving the lost is to point them to God, and then God turns them to people that go and seek and save the lost. God will do that when they get close to God. I'm trying to get you to hear. But I'm trying to get you to hear by getting you to hear. This can only happen by your own personal intimacy with God. If you try to do this without intimacy with God, you have illegitimate works. If you try to seek and say, if you try to do all this good, you try to do for others without being intimate with God, you're skipping the process. It's not truly birthed within our souls. It's not birthed in our hearts. When we get close to God, this is God's heart. In order to get God's heart, we have to get close to God. We have to get close to God. We have to be intimate with God. We have to spend time with God. And guess what? You will get hurt. God doesn't hurt you, no. But there are times where we won't listen to his instruction. We won't read the word when he tells us to read. We won't put on the padding in this life to read the word, to go to church, to worship him, to pray to him. We won't take on the padding and we're going to fall and we'll want to blame God. But yet God says it's the instruction to succeed in life. He gives the instruction how to get to him through Jesus Christ. He shows us how to put the padding on. This is a father's resolution. I hope that this Father's Day, that some of you fathers, some of you men here make a resolution. Again, you can't just lead to this without this. Some of you, I can help point you, seek and say that which was lost because God has birthed some of that in your souls already. He has birthed some of that in your spirit. You've gone close to God and you have that. You have that cause of Christ. Again, how you get there is many different ways. You might be a doctor, but guess what? Just a doctor isn't good enough. Not in God's kingdom. It doesn't end there. Without God, you're not spending eternity in heaven. Do you understand that? Good works is not good enough. It doesn't get you into eternity with God. It doesn't happen. God needs to be the end all. We need to be directing to him. Directing to him. That is what I want. And again, when we have that, I can help us lead to seek and save that which is lost. I can help you understand the purpose of this church. I can help you understand Allentown Victory. But I can't help you understand Allentown Victory unless we understand God. I can't help you understand church unless you understand God. So this is what church is about. And this is what Father's about. Helping us to see God and get this in our eyesight. Get this in our crosshairs. Get this in our focus. Get our alignment about God. The other part, life, that's a beautiful part, but what you focus on is what all your life will be going towards. Let's get it towards God. Let's get intimate with God. This Friday night is times where we get intimate with God. We get closer to God. It's opportunities for that. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable getting naked. You can't get very intimate without getting naked. Without getting vulnerable. You can't get very much. But exactly. We have a hard time getting vulnerable. We have a hard time getting naked before God. Why? Because we clothe ourselves with this life. We've learned how to live in it. And to take some of that off to say, God, work in me, that's hard. We say, God, I want more of you. No matter what, that's hard. That's hard. But that's where God is leading you. Will you let him lead you there? Will you let me help lead you there? Will you let those that are pointing that, will you let them be a signpost for you? God, God, God. This is the resolution, church, I want us to be having. Why? Because I want you to understand this church. I want you to understand this church, Allentown Victory. I want you to understand God. We need that passionate relationship with him, church. And I'm calling you guys to that. There's no accent, those of you who are here that are here today. This is a Friday night type message, okay? I knew that coming in here. I want to encourage you. Step forward. Father, step forward. Step them forward to God. Lead to God. Put that in the focus of your family. Put that in the focus of your life. And then you'll be centered. then you'll be hitting the bullseye. Amen? I'll have everyone just stand here with me today. When I was in California, when I was in Bible college, there was times I'd go out to pray. I try to find places to pray at. And Vanguard University had a little prayer room that I would sometimes go to. And most of you here understand the term slaying the spirit. I've never been slaying the spirit. To this day, I can't say I've been slaying the spirit. But some of you here understand that. Some of you others might not, and that's okay. You can ask me later. But I remember this was probably the closest I've ever been to that. I was just praying in the room, and all of a sudden I had my head down on the table, just crying out to God, calling on God, and all of a sudden I seemed to have what I would consider blackout, so to speak. I didn't know I did, but all of a sudden I just had a vision, and I lost track of time and everything. There's other terms for that, but anyway, I remember seeing, what I saw is that I saw, again, this is a vision. This is something I personally saw. I'm just sharing. I'm not telling you the Bible. I'm just sharing what I saw, okay? I saw into God's eyes. And when I saw into God's eyes, I just saw a flame, a blue flame burning. In the midst of that flame, I saw people. I just saw people. That in the midst of that fiery hot flame was people. And it wasn't hellfire. It was love fire. It was passionate. It was passionate for people. Passionate for people. I just saw that love for people, and it just gripped my heart. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He calls us the apple of his eye. It's in his word. We are the apple of his eye. This is God's eye. There is family. There are kids out there. There are people out there. They're the apple of his eye, and he's looking for us to get intimate with him, so that we can have his vision, so we can birth his vision for his kids. I ask every eye to be closed right now and every head be bowed. Not doing our typical altar call here today. But I'm going to ask you to make some decisions. Let's get real. We need to get a little more vulnerable with God, a little more intimate with God. Why? Because God is looking at you. You are the apple of his eye. And he wants to draw you close to him. And he wants to give you a vision for your life. That vision for your life will include seeking and saving that which was lost. But it will be accomplished by the unique gifts, the unique talents, the unique good works, the unique profession, the unique things that God has given only you. It will be accomplished by that, but the cause will be the same. God wants to birth that in you, and it can only be birthed by him. He wants to be the father of that vision. I'm asking you to make a decision. I'm not asking you, if you want to come up here, go ahead. If you want to make some kind of our profession, go ahead. I'm not going to ask you for that, but I welcome it. If you want to make some kind of statement, if you want to say, this is, I need to do this, then go ahead and do it. But church, God needs you. I'm asking you to draw close to him. I'm not asking you to draw close to me. I'm not asking you to draw close to anything else or anyone else but God. And if that's wrong, then my gosh, condemn me for that. Because I will do that all day long. God wants you. He wants more of you. But he needs to be in your sights, church. Not just Sunday morning, but tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Tuesday afternoon. When you're working, realizing, guess what? I'm not just doing this for myself. I'm not just working for my family. I'm working for God. It says, do all things unto him. That's what the Bible says, not me. He wants your thoughts, your ambitions, your heart, your passion, your love to be directed towards him. Why? Because he loves you so much, and he wants that intimacy with you, church. So that was my resolve this morning. That's my resolve for this church. And right now, I'm opening my heart and getting a little vulnerable with you and telling you this is my passion. I want you to see it. I want you to know it. I want you to really know it, biblically know it. This is what God has for you too. Brian, can you come up here? Can you guys sing Missing You here? And let's just close in that. If some of you feel like you need to respond to God, so be it. Altars are open here, but I just want to take a few moments here. I know it's going longer, but I'm not just preaching here for my own sake, okay? There's something much bigger at stake.
forever out now. You will be there in the moment I need you. You have been here, only I couldn't see you. I've been missing.
In worship this morning, I just sense the Lord whispering in my ear that He was going to do something new inside of us today. It wasn't the end of something, it wasn't the necessarily beginning of something in this church, but He was doing something new inside of us today. And I didn't link that to what I was speaking on at first. I was like, okay, God. But a vision needs to be birthed. God is wanting to birth a vision in you. God is wanting to birth a vision in you. God is trying to do a new thing in you. A new thing in you. Stop looking for it everywhere else. Stop looking for it everywhere else. In you. In you. In you. Don't look in the church. Don't look in you. He wants to do it in you. It's personal. Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. Happy Father's Day, Lord. Lord, may kids return to you here today, Father. May your children return, Father, to you, Lord. Father, may they sense your embrace, your love, Father. Oh, Father, and I pray, Lord God, let them return to your heart, Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you for this day. Thank you for the honor of serving you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, continue to have your way in our hearts, Father, that we might not miss you, but see you, Lord, right now, right here, and in us and in our life, Father. In Jesus' name.